teasing Terry about turning off the mute. All right, did you say get closer to the microphone?
Closer to the mic, please, yes.
I'll tell you what, believe it or not, I have another headset. Put my other headset on and see if it works better. Hang on a second. Don't go away. Hello?
Yes, Vin.
Is this one better?
Great, yes.
This is an improvement, right?
It sounds like you, yes.
Okay, that's set number two.
So, much warmer.
So, my co-host, can we call her Turn for short? Or should we call her Mute for short? Actually, do you have a preference? Now that I'm going to get emails, stop making fun of Terry.
I have to stay muted because otherwise everything will have an echo that you say.
You can go in the other room.
Okay.
And if I get in trouble, I'll just run in there, okay? So far, so good.
Okay.
So the topic we announced today, you know, what I'm learning is that... last week, I announced a topic, which I can't remember what it was. One size fits all. Now, let me tell you that I had no idea what we were going to talk about. All I know is whatever came up was really amazing. And as most of you know that are tuning in regularly, this is a fairly unusual call that we do, because I may start talking and say some interesting things. We have all of our sources who look at things from outside this dimension and are able to fill in a lot of the holes of things that a human really can't know in this dimension. And this has been going on now for a number of years, and they're very wise, they're very perceptive, but most of all, they're very loving. And what is really neat about this connection is on some level, I've learned, and some of you who are on these calls have learned, to feel their love. Now, that's a pretty interesting thing. Feel the love of something in another dimension, not in this dimension. And the topic tonight is tapping into the divine inside you. And last week, we came up with a very interesting way of looking at things for those of you that were here. And when we think of divine, when we think of God, we visualize it in some way, and we think of it as something huge outside of us. And last week, we kind of started talking about what is commonly referred to as the quantum field and blinking on and off, and that the physical universe exists from the blink on, and the metaphysical universe exists from the blink off, and that really it start when you start to think in those terms. I had a lot of emails from people about this whole concept last week, because for some of you, it's a new way of thinking of things. When you start to think of you as a conscious being blinking on and off, and most of the time we just perceive the blink ons because, like a newspaper photo, up of hundreds or thousands of dots, and when we look at it, we only see the dots, the picture. We don't see the dots. We don't see the space in between the dots. The TV is the same way. It's got bunches of lines, but when we watch it, we don't see the lines, and we don't see the space in between the lines. We only see the picture. Well, it seems like maybe our lives are the same way, that we put all the blink-ons and put them together, and when we see them all as a flow, we fill in the space where there's no line, where it blinks off. Or in physics, the wave-particle theory, where first there's a particle, and then there's a wave, and then there's a particle. And whereas in the blink-off is where the divine lives. So how do we tap into the divine? What's the power of that? What is the power of tapping into it? And, of course, when we use the word divine, I hate to use words everyone thinks they know what they mean, because I don't even know what it means. Even when you use the word God, what does that mean? Well, if the one infinite creator, what does that mean? You know that we're talking to a consciousness that identifies itself for an intelligence as the Elohim, and then combined with the Ra group, and it seems to me they exist in the blink off, where things blink off, and there they are. Now, how can we use this visualization to tap into it? How can we think of it? You know, interestingly enough, years ago, I wrote a song. Some of you know that for a good portion of my life, I identified with the idea of being a singer-songwriter. And the whole concept in a song. And I called it Dig the Spaces. I should actually have sent it to Don and Seth and had them play it because it so was the topic. And we're starting to understand that what we think of as a human, you and I, is a bunch of frequencies. We have sub-frequencies in our body. We are a unique combination of frequencies that are in the blink-off, blink-on thing. And all those frequencies together combine to give us this, I don't like to use the word illusion because it's so feels so real, but I don't know, the illusion of awareness and consciousness. Elohim has said, and some of you have heard this, that
they need all the food.
Exist and then they don't exist. We this quantum field, if we move into it, then sometimes we've addressed looking at this, that there's no time. And that time was just a perception that we can have consciousness. That time in truth exists simultaneously, which means that moment when there was not a universe, when everything was chaos, exists right now. And then that moment when the chaos became aware of itself exists right now. And that moment when the first, that original awareness subdivided and became a group of individuated consciousnesses exists right now. And the moment when those individuated consciousnesses created the first instance of persistence in a physical way exists right now. So we could go all those timelines, and they may not exist in the physical world. They don't exist in the physical world, but they exist in the space. And that when we move into the spaces, we're moving into the spirit, the place that existed, that exists outside of this dimension. We're moving into the place where these sources exist. And it's not easy to visualize. Can you imagine existing and then not existing, as the Elohim described, coming into a manifestation and then disappearing, and where you don't even exist, you're not aware of yourself, but then you come back in again? When somebody calls on you, it creates the pull to bring you into existence. I'm not sure it exactly works that way, but it might. And we're going to ask them, because they're talking to us through Terry, and these are always very fascinating dialogues in understanding the nature of the larger universe. So, in the largest space of understanding, there is no inside and outside. It's all one. But what your body is a container, and inside of it is the field that's blinking on and off. So, when you change something in your focus, you move into the blink off, at which point you become a creator, no longer in an effect. Now, there was this period of my life, sometimes I talk about it, where I actually had, for the first time, my own direct experience of how it felt to be in the blink off instead of the blink on. And it had to do when I started hitchhiking. And I remember I was in Berkeley, and I was living with my friend Jillian, who someday I'll have one as a guest. She's one of the greatest influences of my entire life, because when I was in Berkeley, she was my girlfriend, and she was studying metaphysics and Edgar Cayce and astrology, and I was studying physics, and I thought she was a wacko. And somehow she won, and I got interested in all that stuff. So I had been reading mystical books. One of the books that was greatly influenced me was called Autobiography of a Yogi by a guy by the name of Paramahansa Yogananda, who came to the United States on his teacher's recommendation to bring yoga here. And in the book, he talked about all these miracles he was having in different places and appearances and saints that spoke to him. And I remember at the time that I read that book, I used to look at things the way my father looked at them. And my father would have the approach that everything has an angle. Everything has a gimmick. What's this guy's gimmick? And I looked at his face and I said, didn't look like a guy with a gimmick. Go look him up. Paramahansa Yogananda. He just looks so sincere and so innocent. And I had left Berkeley and I just stuck out my thumb and I said, I want to learn if there's really a God. And when I started hitchhiking, I experienced daily synchronicities. I experienced like somebody was watching me, looking over me. I don't want to take the time of the call of telling you all the things that happened to me, but it would be, I would meet the same person in different cities. I would meet people of the same birth sign in a row. And I really spent a long time trying to figure out how the universe worked in a way that would allow me to do that. And I can tell you, I think I figured it out. And what it was that when I started hitchhiking, I let go of any binding from any other consciousness on this realm. I didn't have a companion. I didn't have a home. I didn't have a job. But I did have a bunch of astrology books, and I was doing astrology in trade for sleeping on people's couches. And what happened, because I let go of everything that compressed me, everything that contracted me, I expanded. Now, I'm not recommending everyone go out and hitchhike, particularly in this period today. But it worked for me, and I learned a lot. And in letting go of everything that tied me down, something in me soared. And at that time, I could not make that happen when I stopped hitchhiking. Every time I stopped hitchhiking, it was like my karma would catch up to me. And by hitchhiking, it doesn't mean I didn't stay someplace. I stayed some places for months at a time. And I stayed in New York City, and I stayed in New Jersey. And I got into little scenes, and I had a guitar, so I would go out and play music. But all my purposes were very high. I was doing astrology charts, and I was playing music. And I was playing music to uplift people. And so I was tied into a much greater hologram, or maybe a much smaller hole. When I use the word hologram, I think of big. But I had made myself very small. There's absolutely no ego, no recognition, no cheering on. And it was like every day. It was like I was living in a miracle, but I couldn't share it with anyone. And after that, I spent many, many years trying to go back to that place to try to understand it. And to some extent, I think now, because of the creation we're doing here, it has a really big hologram, and I can be in one place. I don't have to go hitchhiking to keep my hologram moving. And on that note, let me see if Mute is... Mute, are you there? You there?
I'm here. Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Your name?
Pardon?
You're living up to your name.
No, I wasn't muted.
I still can't hear you. I'm hearing you through the door.
You can't hear me? I wonder why.
I can't hear you.
Did you fall off the air?
Wait a second.
Are you teasing Wynn?
I can hear you, so you got to be on the air because I can hear you. I'm just on the air, but I'm talking.
I can hear you. My mistake. I when I changed headsets, I forgot to turn up the volume control on the new headset.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, very good.
Excuse me. It's okay. I'm not going to call you Mute anymore on this call. Okay.
Okay. All right.
And let me see if I Speaking of mute, let me see if I muted everybody. Are you guys still on the conference line?
Yes, I did mute all the lines earlier.
You did it. Thank you so much. Okay. Well, thank goodness for Hive. He helps keep everything focused. You see, even on these calls, you know, this principle kind of applies. If you notice, we really space out. I come on the call. If I really thought about it and said, what am I going to talk about tonight? I hope I keep people interested. I'd have been having ulcers every time I come on this call. And so they've given me a really easy job. All I got to do is shut up and start talking. Not shut up. Stop thinking and start talking. Somehow it comes out. And Hive is like helping keep the organization of the lower realms. He says hello to everybody. He reminds me if he can't hear me, and he tells me if I'm breathing into the microphone. And I really tell you, it seems simple, but it's not. It's really great that he does it because, in a sense, he's helping to hold the energy so we can ground this so that it's in the physical world. Because between Terry and myself, I'm not sure who is worse of of being grounded. So all of you help hold the grounded energy just by being there with holding the space. You're creating me to, and them to say, how do I say this? You're creating the openness so that we can do this and be candid, and that you're trusting me, so I'm trusting myself, so I just start talking, and it comes out. And, you know, it's the quality, that old saying, letting go and letting God. So God, or divine, somehow exists in this space, in between the words, in between our awareness. And of course, throughout history, the name Elohim has been one of the words that has been used for God.
Entry and exit times are off.
And our sources describe themselves as a combination of the Elohim group and the Ra group. And I guess the Ra group was, the Ra was used for the name for God in Egypt and passed down. But the Ra group has actually been involved in many, many precipitive incidents and interventions on this planet, maybe more so than the Elohim, but they don't use the word Ra that often. In any case, I'm going to call in the light, and we're going to talk to them and learn a little more about the spaces, the quantum fields. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person here, and any negativity be taken to the higher realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe, through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the energy fields of the planets in our solar system, through the outer energy fields of the Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group consciousness of all of us present, and we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, operating and honoring the law of one, to join with us. And we create a protected space that only the positive has access to, and anything out of that nature must leave now. And we await for our sources and give them the freedom to make any comments they'd like to have before we start asking questions.
We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. It is our, we feel honored, and it is our delight to be with you and to communicate and have this opportunity to touch base with each and every person on the line and each and every person who listens to the Repeal Play line. We send our profound love. We are mindful of the topic tonight concerning the spaces, and you have written a song, Dig to Spaces. So, space indicates location and is what is between locations. Then there is another place, which isn't a place, which is a nothing, which when the energies blink off, there is what could be called a space, which would be defined between the two blink-ons. But it's not really a space, it is a nothingness. And it is the nothingness on which creation is then written, much as a series of pictures run at a certain speed, move together, and become a moving picture. Do you have questions?
Yes. When we call in the light, I should tell everybody, in that invocation that we do calling in the light, those are my words. They never say these words and this will show up. That was my intuitive way of putting it together. And I saw it as a journey of energy from the center of the universe. And I think we could say that the Elohim, if you could pinpoint them to a location, the closest location would be the center of the universe. Would that be accurate?
That would be accurate. We, in a sense, are not located anywhere, as we have the ability to appear and disappear and a non-linear ability to be in a place or to not be at all. Therefore, when you indicate the energy moves from the center of the universe through the galaxies, through the solar system, it is partially true and partially not true, in that we have the ability not to travel through, but we have the ability to simply be where we feel the calling.
So when you're in the place where you don't exist, and of course this is not easy, we're just going to have to try to imagine existing and not existing, although sometimes I feel that way, maybe some of you can understand that. But when you're in the place where you don't exist, and we down here who have learned to tune into your frequency say, show up, does that bring you into existence? Does that invoke you, just the calling?
There is another factor that is involved. It is our intention and our willingness to be called into existence, to answer the call.
So you make a free will choice.
That is correct. We are like a multi-level, multi-dimensional oscillator that can tune in to more than one frequency at one time and can be various locations. And we set our frequency calling to respond to the frequencies we are interested in responding to.
Mm-hmm. Now, there are millions of planets on the universe that have life. How many of those planets have beings on them that have the ability to call on you?
Give us a moment.
Or does every life form anywhere in the universe have the ability to call on you? Do the dolphins and whales have the ability to call on you?
The dolphins and the whales do have the ability to call on us. However, we do not need a name to be called. It is the frequency of intention to achieve a change, to receive a better outcome. It is the passion with which a person asks that we are following in helps us tune in.
Mm-hmm.
There are more than one of us, and we are particularly focused in your sector of your galaxy. Our attention is particularly focused there.
This is because the shift we're going through, yes?
That is a large part of it. However, we are tracking with you, shift or no shift.
Mm-hmm. So many parts of the universe have evolved and have, could we say, lost connection with you. By and large,
many have lost connection with the higher realms and cling to matter and the lower realms.
So when sometimes it's said that this planet here is one of the darkest, lowest places, people say that. It's not exactly completely accurate, since this is one of the few locations where, when I say this planet, maybe it's the sector of the solar of the galaxy that can call on you.
It is a planet with a dark history, and it has been repeated incidents of trauma to the populations in general. It is into repeating patterns. One could call that dark in that it is separated from other planets who have a lighter hearted, more loving history.
Mm-hmm. So I would assume that strictly surface-to-self planetary populations wouldn't even bother calling on you, would they? Or you wouldn't
answer
them?
They might call on us. They might call on us. However, if it is manipulative and not in the highest good, we will only note it and we will not in the interest of the highest good of growth for those individuals, not answer.
Mm-hmm. So the topic tonight was how to connect with the divine inside you, how to connect with the divine to empower yourself. And empower yourself would have to mean to be of higher service in this realm, not to be more powerful, like, look at me. And I'm sure that everyone who is listening, who these words strike, is wanting to make those kinds of connections. And the connection exists in the space, I believe. How can, of course, throughout history, there are a huge amount of techniques that help people make those connections. For example, chanting Om, meditating, praying, devotional aspect. Give us some idea of some of the ways, the techniques that people can use to make the connection.
Often people confuse connection with possession and feel that if they do not possess and own whatever they are attempting to connect to and keep it steady and burning and there at all times, that they are not really connected, or they have missed part of the benefits of connection in their effort to link up. They place a burden upon the connection line, and this can move the connection into a lockup, a stuckness, a could be even some sort of a disaster, as the individuals tried to rigidly hold on. And since the universe is created instantaneously over and over at every instant of its existence, it is not something that can be possessed and held on to. One needs to flow. One needs to view it. One needs to share space with it, but allow it to move in and out. Allow themselves to move in and out of situations instead of grasping and trying to own it. The best ownership can be when one is willing to let it go and one sees it and experiences it and moves with it. For if one attempts to keep it as it is, one loses it, as it is constantly recreated in each second, each instant of time. So one needs to move with the flow and experience it and experience any changes in it and to love it. And this is a type of we don't wish to say ownership, but they can own the experience, but not the essence of it. They can experience the essence of it, but as it moves through its recreations, to not desperately try to stick it in the memory of what it once was, but to move with it and experience it. And then if one wishes to bring change into one's sphere as they move with it from a standpoint of movement, they can move into any changes and can better instigate and coordinate changes than if they tried to grasp and hold on and pin it down and own it and possess it.
Just the nature of trying to own it makes it not there. You can't own it. I was thinking before you even said it the key element here is flow. That when you're moving in these spaces, there has to be a flow. It's like this, it would be this huge flow that the physical universe solidifies underneath the flow. But when you're in the flow, you're in the place prior to the solidification, so that the slightest intentions, when you're in the flow, can create changes in manifestation in the physical world. Is that kind of a way of looking at it?
That is correct. When one is totally with it and can totally share space with it and can track its movement without owning and possessing it and trying to stop it and stick it down and be it. That's one major area, is trying to be it. And then at a certain moment in time and as it moves on, then one loses it. But if one wants to track with it and grow with it and experience it, it is the best harmonious connection one can have. And they can then move with it, and they can have a connection that is beyond any type of possession.
Mm-hmm. You know, I wanted to share an example of something that happened in my life just in the last couple of days. That was an example for me. It reminded me of the way things would happen when I was hitchhiking and other times. Now I'm not just bound to hitchhiking, but still I'm not in that place. There's something about hitchhiking that was totally amazing and exciting in watching the universe create itself, because just the whole idea of hitchhiking puts you in a flow. Well, what happened in the last couple of days, and maybe I'll share it, and we'll have them take it apart, and take a look at it, and look at what happened in the spaces when this happened in the physical world. And 2 days ago, I was leaving Sedona for Phoenix, and I had run into a guy's name who owned a little publishing company in Cottonwood. And I looked at all his books that he published, and they definitely were all about pyramids and metaphysical stuff and Egypt and Atlantis. And obviously he was very much into things that, if I met him, I said, this guy should be interested in me. And so I found his phone number, and I called it, and someone answered the phone. They said, well, he was out of town, but, they gave me his email to email him. So I didn't email him, and I left Sedona. And now I'm driving to Phoenix, and there's this turnoff called, and I can't read, Black City, some Black something City. I don't think it's Black Flag, because I think that's what you kill cockroaches with. But Black something City. And I was kind of fascinated with it, because it's in the middle of nowhere. And I had stopped one other time, and they have a... it's very old. All the buildings at this turnoff. I wasn't in the city. I was in the freeway turnoff. It's... They had a restaurant and a bar and a gift shop, and it was all. And the place is known for having the best pies in Arizona. Everyone stops there to have a pie. And I went into the restaurant, and it was just really funny because I didn't have a reason to turn off. Something was saying, turn off. This is like the key element to following the flow. Finding that voice that says, to do something when it's not obvious why you should have a reason to do it. I could have said in my mind, I got to get to Phoenix. What do I want to stop here for? I went into the restaurant. I looked at the pies. I looked at the cookies. I said, I'm not really hungry. I'm not going to sit down and eat. And I left the restaurant. I turned to the right, and there is this little store, little shack that says Herbs and Healing. And I said, I'm going to go in there. And I go in, and there's this guy, and he's got all these herbs and whatever. And I start talking to him, and I mentioned that I was an author, and maybe he'd be interested in carrying my book because it fit into, he knew who Edgar Cayce was. And he immediately says, well, we do carry some books. He says, there's a guy from up north that comes down here every time he goes to Phoenix and drops things off. And sure enough, the guy that he mentioned was exactly the guy who I called that morning, okay? And of all the times, to me to wander into this herbal shop, it was obvious there was an energy, a frequency tying it all together. And then I'm in Phoenix, and we're staying at someone's home here, and Terry is watching the TV. I think she's watching some show called Alien Encounters. Now, I never watch TV. I read about these things, but I very rarely watch. And I'm sitting there looking at the screen, and guess who's talking? But that very same guy who owns this publishing company. And that's like in 24 hours, three contacts. And two of them, one of them was through my intention. One of them was, I said, I think there's something going on here. And the other two were totally random, unlikely things that showed up. Now, if we take that apart, I think it's going to create, I hope, at 6:52, we're going over. I hope that they haven't had a show after me, so they've been letting me go over. If we get cut off, so be it. I wanted to ask the question from the metaphysical point of view, from the point of view of the quantum field, and the point of view of me pulling off and stopping and discovering that herbal shop. It was as if part of me knew that that herbal shop was there, or that something was there, and my conscious mind didn't have a clue, but it made me pull off. And I walked in and watched the TV screen at the very moment that guy was on TV. And so perhaps by understanding how this occurred for me, see, I think this is the way people get jobs. It's the way people fall in love. It's the way people sell their houses. It's the way that you bring something in. Of course, I'm not even connected to this guy. He doesn't even know I exist. And maybe nothing will happen. But there's something in our frequencies that was putting it together. And I want an explanation to the best of our ability to understand it, how that works so that it might give keys to other people of how to apply that so that they can bring something into their life that they would like to have, and it seems impossible. Thank you.
Thank you. When you tune in to a frequency such you did on David Childress, then you tune in to all of the frequencies that he is bringing through. He is very strong, and he is bringing through very definite frequencies to do with areas which in the past you have dealt with and even written about in the book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. Therefore, you are tied in and resonating your own sphere, your own strings, your own DNA strings, with those frequencies, then they resonate the frequencies throughout the area, and then you are guided through the coincidence of those frequencies to more information. It is where your attention is focused, and therefore you see the resultant manifestation of those frequencies to do with David Childress, to do with your work, to do with what you have brought through previously, and to bring coincident frequencies in to manifest into your life.
Mm-hmm. Now, when I was driving, I assume that on some unconscious level, something was pulling me to pull off because of those frequencies. And I did it. I pulled off the freeway. I made the decision. That's the key. I pulled off the freeway to go in there. And I didn't know a clue. I didn't have a clue what was there. I thought it was going to be a bar and a restaurant and a bunch of pies. But nonetheless, on an intuitive level, some part of me knew and made the decision. And like part of the key to this is feeling those intuitions very sensitively so that you can respond to them when they're present. Is that correct? The message comes through as an intuitive flash. Do this?
Yes, it is beyond the consciousness, beyond thought. And therefore, you respond. Respond that do not have conscious thought about what you are responding to.
I know that I've gotten some of the people, a couple of the people in Team Shift have put something in the light, like selling their house, for example, and it was on the market for a long time. And as soon as they put it into the light or wishing they had a relationship, it came in. The synchronicity came in to cause it to occur. But, you know, this is all very subtle because you're not in control of it. It's like, it's kind of like you put something in one end and it comes out the other. And whatever happens in the middle between the time it goes in and the time it comes out, I was going to say it's like digestion, but it's probably not the best image. It's kind of a mystery. But somehow, when you do it right and you're in the field, there's a link between putting an intention out and having some kind of result. And sometimes
yes. It
works like magic.
It is not magic. It is when you put out an energy, you resonate the object of the energy in your energy field. You actually resonate it. You resonate around your house, the aspects of the house. You send them out into the airwaves, much the same as you send a broadcast out from a radio station. From BBS Radio, you send it out over the airwaves. When you look at your house that you want to sell, you review aspects of your house, how it looks, how it is put together, how it is sitting on the lot, the pictures of it, and you work with that. You are resonating the miniature of your house, and then your house is resonating with it, and other individuals then can pick up that resonance as they are resonating at a frequency of wishing that particular type of house, that particular home, and they will hone in on this. It is much as you have discovered when you are selling sunglasses and you have a style that no one is looking at, and you pick up that style and you try it on a few people and you tell the good qualities of that sunglass. So sunglass resonates, and then individuals are attracted to that particular sunglass, and it increases the likelihood that that sunglass will be sold very quickly.
Mm-hmm. Now, in order to do that, you need to be able to create an intention. You need to get out of the muck and mire. You need to get out of the trap of the physical realm and move energy in the metaphysical realm. And you need to get support of those positive sources that can help you with that. How does a person do that when they feel stuck, they feel sick, they feel helpless, they feel depressed? Those are all the things that suck you into feeling inadequate and impotent.
You need passion and excitement and love and longing and desire to be able to resonate it. You need interest, your own interest, your own love, and that will transfer to the object, and other people will then be able to find that object as it shines with in all that is, with energy that you have helped transfer to it to help it resonate. You could say it even comes more alive. You add to the life of the house as you resonate with it. You add to the life of the sunglass, of the material the sunglass is made of. An individual sense that and wish to purchase it, to have that energy in their own space.
You know, when I was first with Daphne and I started getting dream messages, the most amazing dream message I got was, it's the insanity of passion that makes things happen in the real world. I remember having conversations with Daphne and having my sister's healing and thinking, how do I, this little guy with no money, almost living in his RV at the time, how does this go out into the world? And it's not logical. It's passion. And I think that's a good time to bring this call to a close. That was very inspiring, and thank you. And I hope that some of you that are listening can hook into that and figure out what you need to do to tap into that energy of passion, which changes your whole intent and can change your entire life. You have to tap into it and express it. I know that if you sit and wait, you'll just keep getting what you always got. And you have to approach it in a different way, so it shifts. And on that note, do you have any closing words for us before we bring this to official close?
We are profoundly delighted that we can bring you information and can make the connection with you, as we within our realm are able to provide a frequency where one may find respite and solace and love beyond what is available in the earth plane. And we love you. I didn't know it.
Thank you, and I thank all of you who are on the call. Thank everyone supporting these calls, the volunteers, and particularly thank Terry for being dedicated to this project. And we'll see you, some of you, Wednesday, where you can submit questions, and we will ask your questions. And we have been accepting questions about healings and stuff like that. Although we can't do medical diagnosis, we can sometimes help link the energies. This has happened where something heals for somebody just because they asked the question. So I give priority to people that never asked a question before. But you should be listening to the line. So if you're listening to this, you've listened through, that qualifies you. So that's questions at messageaday.net. And we'll see you, some of you, on Wednesday.
All callers are muted. All callers are unmuted.